Valar Duharris.
Welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast, covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And today we'll be covering Season 4, Episode 8, The Mountain and the Viper. It originally aired June 1st, 2014, and has about the same number of viewers as last episode, which is pretty damn good. It's hovering about 7.2 million viewers. Director Alex Graves returns, along with the showrunners writing the teleplay, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. So, Jesse, what was your overall feeling of this episode?
Fuck it.
Fuck it?
Fuck this entire episode.
Fuck the whole episode.
Yep.
That's pretty bad, Jesse.
There's nothing I liked about this episode.
Nothing you liked?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
You didn't like Sansa doing a power play?
Nope.
About time. You didn't like Arya laughing at
it's about goddamn time.
Well, that is true.
That was about the only thing I liked. That was a good reaction.
You have no interest in watching Game of Thrones from this point forward, Jesse?
Very little.
The next episode will be a lot better. The penultimates seem to be like the high moments of each season.
No badasses left in Westeros, period.
What? There's Jon Snow, man.
He's not a badass, though.
I guess. There's still badasses.
Nope.
Barristan?
He's not in Westeros.
Oh, okay.
I said Westeros.
I think there's still plenty of stuff to happen in Westeros. We're just leading up to a shift. A paradigm shift.
They better be introducing a whole lot more characters.
Well, we got to see what happens to Tyrion. We know he's not going to die. Okay, well, we'll save that for later on in the episode. Before we dive into the actual episode, I'd like to give a shout out to the people who do our intro theme, Remix Fix. You can find them at soundcloud.com/remix-fix. All right, coming into the opening sequence, we finally get a new little model there.
Moat Cailin.
Yeah, we finally get a new thing with Moat Cailin. I wonder if that means we're going to be there for a while. Things are going to happen there. Because, I mean, things happen at all these different places.
This seemed to be a pretty centerpiece of the episode, so maybe...
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like...
I can't imagine...
If they're going to spend time animating that, the more should happen than just what happened.
I would think so, especially with, like, the outside, on the bodies on the ground and shit like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well...
You would think, but...
After the opening sequence, we go into Mole's Town. And the first thing I think is when these guys are walking along, I was like, are these Men of the Night's Watch?
I think they might be affiliated.
I'm pretty sure they were...
Because that's in... What's it? Gart? It's the...
Well, it was confirmed later on, right?
There's a special name for that region, and the Night's Watch, like, patrols that area.
Okay, yeah, but they're all supposed to be inside Castle Black right now.
Yeah.
So that was my first thought, because, you know, the guy walking around with, like, the furry, cloaky thing, that's like the uniform of the Night's Watch or something.
Yeah.
And then we go inside the brothel, the whores are belching songs, and you're trying to guess what the song was. What was the song?
I don't even want to know.
The first guess was Reigns of Castamere, which was wrong, and the second was Bear and the Maiden Fair.
Is that a new song? Bear and the Maiden Fair?
No, it's not a new song. That's why they threw Brienne down into the arena with the bear, because there was a song.
I thought news had traveled.
No. They didn't create a song because of Brienne. They threw Brienne in with the bear because of the song.
Oh.
And then we see that the whore that was belching the songs goes and threatens Gilly, or Gilly's son, rather, because he was crying and woke her up. And Gilly says, I'm sorry. And she's like, I don't want you to be sorry.
She called her a wildling bitch. Now, the wildlings are notorious for their, like, ferocity. Are you going to go insulting someone who's supposedly ferocious?
Yeah, but she's not acting very ferocious, is she?
No. But you start pushing around.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, she gets hers.
Oh, yeah.
Because Gilly hears a sound. And, of course, you know, the southerner's like, oh, that's just an owl. Because, you know, everybody just hoots and... You know, the owls are hooting in the towns all the time.
Yeah.
Obviously. Obviously, that was not a call.
Obviously.
By humans.
Owls sound exactly like that.
But Gilly knew, and...
Who?
Yeah. So, Gilly figured it out, hit herself and her son. So, we see Steer come in, slit the guy's throat with that awesome cinematography shot with the reflection in the well. And then we see Tormund's
pitter-patter of blood in the well.
Yeah, there was blood in the... Yeah.
The droplets, like it was raining.
There's blood in the water. The first shark we see is Tormund. That was a classic transition, wasn't it? Where it starts out full frame on some guy's face and he turns around and chops a dude with a sword.
Yep.
Ygritte's coming in.
Well, that's Spear.
Yeah, and she's being pretty ruthless. So I guess, you know, she's still pissed off at Jon. But not ruthless enough to kill Gilly. You're disappointed about this, aren't you?
Yeah.
You wanted Gilly to die.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I feel like everyone else is dying. Why not her?
You know, she was on my death pool earlier on in the season, and she didn't die when I thought she would. But I figured she wasn't going to die today.
No, I'm not that disappointed by her not dying. I just think that there are better characters that died this episode.
There were better characters that died this episode. When Ygritte leaves her there and tells her to kind of be quiet. But did you see the blood dripping from the cracks in the boards? So I think that's a commentary on something. Either there's so much blood or...
Really shitty floor.
The shoddy construction of the brothel.
I think that's a commentary on both.
So after the scene of the sacking of Molestown, we go back to Castle Black. And we see news has reached Castle Black of the sacking of Molestown. And Sam is crying about Gilly.
It is his fault.
It is his fault. He should have known. That boy came there. Told him
what was exactly happening. What was going to happen. Not only that, but, Sam was going to go and get them after
that.
Yeah,
but John
stopped him. Yep.
And it's confirmed that there were men in the Night's Watch there, at least three. I thought there was more, but at least three of them. I guess the two walking in and the guy that they kind of grabbed on the shoulder at the table. And then we see Sam's friends are trying to cheer him up. Hey, you know, there's a chance Gilly escaped. Yeah, you know, she's a wildling. She survived the White Walker attack and, you know, all those years with Craster. I don't know if survive is the correct word to use there.
Yeah, endured.
Endured. And then one of the guys says, whoever dies last, be a good lad and burn the rest of us. Once I'm done with this world, I don't want to come back.
I can agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, definitely. Set everything afire.
Yep.
Of course, what they should be doing is freezing the water in the tunnels, but they're not going to do that.
Nope, because apparently our steel is good enough to stop giants.
Well, 4 inches is good enough to stop humans, for sure. We're going to see giants next episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's my prediction. The battle happens. The Battle of Castle Black happens next episode.
Have you ever seen giants? No. Well, you're going to.
We transition to Marine, or somewhere near Marine, because we see Grey Worm and Missandei bathing in a river or a canal or something. Missandei is, of course, naked in the water, and then Grey Worm is giving her the googly eyes. And not just taking a peek, he, like,
stalker
hardcore
eye.
Stares her.
Those weren't googly eyes, those were stalker eyes.
Stalker eyes. And, of course, you know, she doesn't know what to make of it. She explains how she doesn't know what to make of it to Daenerys. And Daenerys asks her if they took the pillar along with the stones. Such great euphemisms for cock and balls.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, don't you ever wonder? So the first thing that I thought when I saw Grey Worm giving her the googly eyes, I'm like, wow, that's pretty pointless. But then maybe it's not pointless.
I thought, why do we need to know about this love story? How is this going to play out?
I don't know how it's going to play out. Obviously, they're going to fall in love.
It's going to be tragic.
Former slave love.
Yeah. It's going to be tragic.
Everything's tragic in Game of Thrones. So after Missandei has a conversation with Daenerys, Grey Worm comes to apologize to Missandei. But she's kind of like, I'm glad you saw me. And he's like, I am too. So it's like some weird, strange shit going on where they can't actually give voice to their feelings or something.
That must be it. Maybe they don't. That must be it.
So, but it makes it all awkward. That was a very awkward scene.
That was a very awkward scene. Doubly so since there's not really much he can do about it.
Well, he might be able to do something about it. Yes. They just took his testicles.
They didn't answer that question, though, did they?
No. Well, we know that he can't reproduce.
Yeah.
So at least they took the testicles. I don't see them...
The rocks, if you will.
I don't see them cutting off the penis without taking the testicles.
Yeah.
So they could have just took the testicles and left the penis. I don't know how that works. I guess you can still get erections.
I don't know. Can't say I found that out.
I don't know. Would it be like... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm not a doctor.
I'm not Googling that either.
You know what I can tell from this scene? There's now Rule 34 being applied to this scene.
Probably.
Shipping out there. Fan fiction. I can see it now.
Probably.
Loads of it. There probably was already there before this scene.
Probably.
So we go to Moat Cailin, and we see that Ramsay has returned Theon's breastplate to him, right?
He returned the full outfit. Well, looks like a lord now.
But on the breastplate was the Kraken. And then he goes into this huge metaphor about Krakens. You know, huge metaphor about how Greyjoys are Krakens, and Krakens are powerful in the ocean.
You pull them out, and they're just spineless. They're globs.
Weak. And you think they'd be smart enough to know that, but they don't.
I think that was a metaphor for, while I put this armor on you, you're going to look tough, and then once you're out of it, you're mine.
That's true. It's kind of like a double layer there, right? So, yeah. You know, you're going in to pose, as a strong kraken, but really you're just boneless. And you better be smart enough to know that.
Yep.
Theon goes into Moat Cailin after, you know, reviewing the plan with Ramsay.
That looked like quite a pitch battle.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like what the hell's been... I don't know. There's been a lot going on here, right? It's obviously named for the moat around it, which is just one giant fucking swamp.
Yeah.
And there's tons of dead people in it.
Yep.
But he gets in there, and he meets with the... looks to be very severely injured... what?
I want to comment one moment on the, like, the state of that place. As Theon is walking in, that place looks like there is a plague going on. There are people dying all over the place, and not just from wounds that I saw.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. All I know is that people were definitely hurting. I didn't see anything that told me plague. I didn't see boils.
That guy who he walked up on, who was...
talking about Kenning, the leader?
Yeah.
I think he just had wounds. He didn't have, like, pustules on his face or anything, did he?
That's what it looked like.
I don't know. I know he is vomiting and stuff, but that could have been from, like, gut wounds. Could be plague, but it really doesn't matter because they all end up dying, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Kenning's the first one to go, and he probably got it the easiest. So he wasn't willing to bow down to Ramsay's terms.
Smart move.
It was a very smart move. And then, and right as Theon was beginning to crack, Kenning has his number, right? He's like, are you a woman? And then... yeah. Right as Theon starts mumbling and beginning to crack, turning into reek, Kenning gets an axe in the head. Up steps the second in command. So what this document says is if we give up, we go free. And Theon's like, yeah. And then the next thing we see is like it transitions off that guy. And the next time we see him, he's all flayed.
Yep. Now my question is, was Theon cracking because of just the stress of the situation? Or was he cracking because the repercussions of not coming back with Moat Cailin?
I think it, the second. Because he wasn't going to give up. And I think it was the second. Not the pressure of the situation. I think it was because he's like, what's going to happen to me if I don't get this? If I don't accomplish this task? But he didn't have to worry. Because there's some weak links there.
Yep.
And they gave up, but they didn't get out alive. And yeah, so as far as I'm concerned, Kenning got it easy.
With the axe in the
head. Simple.
Rather than being flayed alive, yeah.
So we go from Moat Cailin to the Vale, and we see that someone is basically given Baelish a third degree, right? He's of foreign blood.
Full interrogation.
So he's a foreigner, and then Baelish is like, well, I guess we're all foreigners in a way, right?
That's true. It is true. Yeah.
It's true. It's kind of like commentary on American immigration hot-button topic, right?
Yeah.
So all these established white people are getting upset because brown people are coming in and displacing them. And I'm thinking, I wonder what all the Aboriginal tribes thought when you guys came in and started displacing them. You know, it's like, speak English or die. Well, fuck you. Do you speak Navajo or something? Kiss my ass.
Well, then you get the whole thing with his response was, well, we've been here for 1,000 years fighting off people from the Vale. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Did you start here?
No. So anyways, he's being interrogated by three nobles. And Jon Royce is really breaking Peter down, right? He was right in everything that he was talking about.
Yep.
So, you know, he's come there.
Talking about licking Lannister boots.
Right. So he started out as Master of Coin. He's a grubby man, right?
Might as well let a grubby man do that job.
Right. But then he started coming around the Vale, and then just weeks after he marries the Lady of the Vale, the Lady of the Vale's dead. It doesn't look good. They tell him that they want to question his niece, and he doesn't look too happy about that. Basically, nope. Like, shit, you don't... You know, he's like, she's scatterbrained and you don't need to talk to her.
He's not wrong.
She's not scatterbrained. Weak, maybe, but not scatterbrained. She knows what the fuck's going on. She's just too weak to act on it.
She's naive enough to trust Baelish and not throw him under that bus.
Well, yeah, so she comes in and starts off, it sounds like she's going to throw him under the bus. It's like, I can't lie. And so she reveals her true identity and then goes on to concoct some story about how Peter had pecked her on the cheek, which didn't happen because it was a full-on kiss. And Lysa had seen it happen, and then she was going to throw her out the moon door, and then Baelish tried to talk her down, but instead she threw herself through the moon door.
Lots of seeds of truth there.
Yeah, there's half-truths there, right?
Yeah.
Which is the best way to lie. Yeah, at least you're basing some of your information on fact. You don't have to keep it all straight in your head. Then, right after she basically exonerates Peter, Baelish begins his machinations.
Oh, he wanted control of Robin, basically. He wanted to take him on a trip around the Vale.
No, I don't think he wants to take him anywhere. I think he's going to send him off on a trip around the Vale.
I think he's going to send Sansa with him.
I don't know if he's going to do that, but he is going to remain in the Eyrie.
To me, it seemed like he was going with him. And I think if that was the case, I don't think Robin's coming back from that trip.
Well, I think it'd be easier for Robin not to come back from the trip if Peter didn't go with him.
You think it's a setup?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a setup. But yeah, so, you know, he needs to learn how to swing a sword and ride horses and meet the people of the Vale. And he's going to do that while Peter sits on in lordship at the Eyrie. So we go from the Vale to Marine, and it looks like they're taking down all the crucified. So the one guy that came and asked for his father started a domino effect, and they're taking them all down. And while they're doing that, Barristan receives a missive from the Hand of the King, because it's marked with the Seal of the Hand.
Yep, which is Tywin.
Of course. And we find out it's a royal pardon for Jorah, because it comes to Jorah and is like, you know, I figured I'd, you know,
let you know this is about to play out.
Yeah, be a man and let you know that this came, but, you know, you're not going to be alone with the queen. So, of course, Jorah has an audience with the queen, and he tries to explain himself. And this is a questionable action. I mean, he's right. Who sent this?
The motives were correct.
The motives are right. The Tywin sent this to destabilize Daenerys' power. To do that, to destabilize her power base, is to get rid of her trusted advisors, and one of that's Jorah. True! He signed on to spy, but he did prevent her from dying from something, you know, from the poison.
Wasn't it multiple times?
No, the one time he knew for sure that was a direct result of his spying was the poison. But now Dany is saying that because he informed them of her baby, she's blaming him for her baby's death.
That is bad. That is some serious crap.
Yeah, I don't think...
That, like, she had a direct result in that baby dying. Like, that was her decision to try and save Khal Drogo.
I think she thinks that because Jorah informed the Iron Throne that she was with child, that maybe they paid off that witch to do bad things to her baby.
I really liked her up until, like, until she became this queen, and then she started making some bad decisions, and I do not like her. I've steadily less and less, more and more disliked her character.
You don't think that she has even the slightest reason to think that Jorah might be responsible for her baby's death?
No, not even a tad.
How do you know?
That baby died, was stillborn.
Right, but it was stillborn because the witch cast spells.
Yes.
So the witch could have been sent there by the throne. We don't know that.
She saved the witch, remember? That witch was true. Going to
she
be...
She was a slave.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. She probably doesn't have any grounds to get rid of Jorah at all. But in her mind, she's making the connection between the dead baby and Jorah.
That's why I'm saying I don't like... She's...
I mean, he was being a spy.
He's playing games with Dario, and now this. It's like, eh...
Well, he was being a
liking
spy.
Liking her less and less.
Well, I mean, she...
Yeah, but he betrayed everything.
She can fuck whoever that she wants. I don't care.
That's not a problem with you. I don't like the way she treated him up until that point.
Oh.
She can do whatever the hell she wants there. That's not... That doesn't bother me.
Well, I don't know. Anyways, what do you think is going to happen to Jorah now? We see him leaving the city.
I don't know. At this point, I hope he gets his pardon. I hope he goes and signs, like, him and Davos meet up somehow.
Like all the second string.
Yeah.
All this, the Westerosi second string gets together.
That's all I have left to root for. Tyrion, Davos, Jorah. Make a play for the crown.
I think Jorah is going to end up watching from a distance and then come in and save the day, and then he'll be forgiven.
I hope not.
I think that's what's going to happen, because he's in love with her, dude.
I hope he abandons her.
He's in love with her.
But she's content with playing with him. Like,
I think he's going to be hanging out on the horizon, keeping an eye on what's going on. Then he's going to come in and save the day. And then he'll be forgiven and be back in her circle of trust. So we go from Meereen to somewhere in the north. Ramsay is giving a token of Moat Cailin's capture to his dad, Roose.
There's like the flag off there, right?
Yeah, the banner or something. Roose then asks him to come around and look, take a look. He's like, look this way, what do you see? And he's like, yeah, nothing. I don't see nothing. He's like, it's the north. 700 miles this way is the north. 400 miles this way is the north. I have control of all of it. And he's like, and you help me do it. And then he gives him some kind of paperwork that tells him, that legitimizes him, makes him not a bastard anymore. You know, he's like, what's your name? He's like, Ramsay Snow. He's like, no, you know, you're legitimate now. Now you're Ramsay Bolton. I thought maybe he was going to kill him. To be honest, I thought Roose was taking him over there and was just going to kill him.
I don't think so. Roose, while a very hard man, I don't think he's...
That ruthless?
He's got a certain honor to him that's like dark.
A certain honor?
A bit of dark
honor. The type of honor that you turn on...
That you flay people with.
The Starks.
The type of honor that gets you to flay people.
Mount wolf heads on their dead bodies?
Correct.
So he's not. What you're saying is not quite as bad as Ramsay.
Yeah.
But now that Ramsay's actually a Bolton, how long do you think Roose has to live?
That is an interesting question. I have not thought about that yet.
Yeah.
That is new.
Yeah, so Ramsay's now officially a Bolton. If Roose dies, he'll be the heir and take it all over. Or, you know, like, he'll kill everyone else that's in line and then take it all over. I think he's the only guy anyways.
I think he's pretty loyal to Roose.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's a sick, twisted motherfucker.
That he is. But he's Roose's sick, twisted motherfucker.
He is Roose's sick, twisted motherfucker. Yeah, I don't know. When he's talking about how, you know, I'll make you proud that you gave me your name and all that stuff.
That's really, I mean, that's what he's worked for.
I think Ramsay is going to kill his father.
I don't think he's that bitter.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because you got, like, Jon Snow was bitter about being a bastard. Ramsay's bitter about
it. You think that if maybe he hadn't legitimized him like he promised, then he would have killed him?
Yeah.
Okay, but as long as he played the game and followed the rules, he's not going to kill him.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That's my...
He tells Theon that he's going home, right? Is that Winterfell that they're marching to?
That's what it looked like to me.
Interesting.
It's like, who's there to stop him, though?
No, Winterfell was
sacked, yeah.
That place is dead, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
Theon went to great lengths to basically destroy everything there the first time around, right?
Yep.
And then Roose came in and finished the job. I thought somebody did. So we go from Winterfell to the Vale. And here's where we see Baelish confront Sansa and is like, why'd you help me?
This is a very sort of, I don't know how I'd call that, bitchy or bitter move by Baelish. Like, he didn't just accept the fact that she helped him. But no, he's gonna...
Well, no, he needs to know why. What's her motivation? Because now you see what's happened here? That kind
of reveals quite a bit about his character, I think.
Yeah, he's definitely paranoid.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays a long game, too. The whole Lysa thing. I mean, that's been forever.
Well, hell, we think he may have kicked off the war.
Yeah, he may have. So, no, because I think he's paranoid, because now he needs to understand what's Sansa's motivation. You know, why. And Sansa feeds him a line where it's like, well, if they're going to execute you, what do you think they'd do to me, your niece? She has a point. I mean, it's a fair point. I don't know if they would have executed her, because she could have
at any point
told the same story. Look, he saved me from King's Landing. I'm actually Sansa Stark, and I can tell you all this shit to let you know that I'm actually Sansa Stark.
And then he tossed Lysa out of the window.
Right. So, but that's the line she gives him, and she says, I know what you want. And he's like, are you sure you know me? And she kind of gives a smirk, right? So she's pretty sure.
She doesn't. Oh, no, she doesn't.
I think she understands that he wants her. He wants everything, and he wants her.
He mentioned he wants everything, but I don't think she fully understands that.
I think she does.
We'll see about it. We'll see.
I don't think she's quite as naive as you're saying she is. Why did Sansa keep him around?
Maybe she wants the rise to power as well.
I think so. I think she's now becoming a player. This is a power play, is what this was. Without him, she may be nothing. But with him, he has enough ambition that she could use that ambition for her own.
And his skills. Because right. I definitely don't think she has any of those skills.
Right, because now she has, I don't know if she has leverage on him, you know. She told a lie, so I don't know how culpable that makes her now. But she has some kind of leverage on him. She knows. She knows everything. Because Lysa spilled her guts, right, about how Baelish had her murder her husband and all this shit. So she has a lot of information now.
Yeah, but I don't think that ever will ever come back to haunt Baelish, because he can make her disappear like
that. That is another question. So how long is it before Baelish tries to eliminate Sansa?
Not until he gets his use out of her.
Yeah. And so outside of the Vale, before the Bloody Gates, we see Sandor and Arya. Sandor is ready to get his payment. Ready.
I never thought they'd make it to this point.
Well, I mean, but you did say that you thought his wounds were something more serious than what I thought. And yeah. You're right, because it's bothering him, right? And Arya even comments that, you know, those wounds are slowing you down. She'll let me burn them.
Yep.
They find out something interesting, right, that causes Arya to laugh her ass off.
The Lysa is dead.
That's right.
that's the perfect bit of irony.
Yes.
Sandor rode all this way to get his money. And
went all this way to get some money. And just before he was on a tirade about how, you know, blood, honor, all, you know, it's everything that nobles care about, right? It's what you fucking people care about. And then they get there and that fucking person is dead. So who's going to pay him? So we're in question about where Sandor and Arya goes from here. Do they enter the gate? Do they leave the gate? I'm surprised that one of the archers didn't put an arrow in Arya for laughing at the mention of her aunt's death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, my condolences.
And well, they've been on the road a long time. Maybe they think she's cracked.
It could be.
Now, they mentioned their names. He called her Arya Stark.
Yeah, and he called himself Sandor Clegane.
He mentioned, I don't think they'll be able to just turn away and walk away from that gate.
Don't think so?
I don't think so. Not if they know Sansa's already there.
Well,
I guess they don't know Sansa's already there.
No, these people don't know.
No, but I doubt they just
let us start. The noble said that her secret was safe, so I trust those people. They aren't going to just spread the news.
But I do think that, Sandor and Arya are not going to be able to just walk away.
What do you say about if I say Brienne and Pod are just down the trail from the Bloody Gate?
I think at this point, sure.
You don't care at all?
Nope. I'm disappointed.
Well, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff happening at the Vale right now.
I'm sad Sansa didn't get tossed out the moon door.
What? Oh my god.
There are no characters left I care about.
I wish Peter Baelish would have been shoved out the fucking door.
They could have all three hugged and just jumped.
All three hugged. Speaking of Baelish, though, he's sending Robin out. And of course, Robin's like, well, my mom always said it's dangerous out there. And he's like, well, you know, it's dangerous anywhere.
You could die at any time.
Any time.
Right. You know, a little bit foreshadowing. You could die at any point.
It is. You know, I think he's going to die in his chamber pot. Robin is officially going to die taking a shit. And then we see Sansa comes down, right? Ooh, and it's got the power lighting behind her, framed in the sun there. She comes down, she's all, I guess, dressed up. She has some
sort of wicked looking.
Yeah, she has some kind of necklace pads, on, right?
Yeah.
She's cleaned up, I guess, to go out and do whatever the hell they're going to do next. We don't know, because we go back to King's Landing for the climax of this episode, or premature ejaculation, as it were. And we see Jaime has brought wine to Tyrion while he's waiting for the trial. And they're going back and forth, and Tyrion makes a pretty good comment talking about how trial by combat, deciding one man's guilt or innocence in the eyes of the gods by having two other men hack themselves to pieces, tells you something about the gods.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think it tells you something about men.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Discussing Oberyn's proficiency with Jaime, and it was like, you know, you just don't get nicknames like the Red Viper, right? Or the, you know, Viper of Dawn or whatever he called him. He's like, so, you know, he's going to win, right? And Jaime's like, I don't know, you know.
I haven't heard of him.
Yeah. And I haven't seen him fight. And Tyrion's like, shit, he's going to die. I'm going to die. Fuck. At least he's not in there fighting, though, right?
Yeah. Then it'd be assured.
He starts asking, he's like, you know, what's a penalty for regicide? And it's like, beheading. Because, you know, Tyrion's like, is it drawn and quartered? And Jaime's like, no, it's a beheading. He's like, well, that's kind of mundane. And he starts going about regicide, fratricide, suicide, nepeticide. He goes through all the sides, right? He's like, every kind of killing has a name. And Jaime's like, cousins? He's like, yeah. He's like, I guess you don't have a name for killing your cousin.
I guess that would just be homicide. I guess they don't care.
It's a homicide. That's the general catch-all term.
Yep.
And then Tyrion goes into, I guess they're discussing one of their cousins, right? I guess he was dropped on his head or something. And he's talking about how, you know, he used to study this guy, right?
He smashed beetles.
That's what he did. He smashed beetles. That's all he did. And so he used to watch him trying to figure it out why. He'd ask him why, didn't get a good answer. You know, it's like, smash beetles. So he went to the Meister's library to look it up. And he found out, hey, there's not a lot of books written about morons. I don't know if that's the correct word to use, but, you know, mentally handicapped people.
Yeah.
So he's bothered by why his cousin was driven to smash bugs. There has to be a reason, right?
There was a system to it. There was a purpose.
Right, there's a purpose. And he had a purpose to that. And bugs Tyrion, right? Because he never found out why. It's kind of like, what does this story kind of have to say?
I think there was a commentary on, because he like made the connection. He's like, thousands, you know, a beach littered with just the husks of beetles. And then Jamie brings up, well, look at this war. It's killed, you know, thousands.
Well, not just the war, right? Women, children die every day, and who gives a fuck about beetles?
I think that was the point Tyrion was making.
So no one gives a fuck about these people. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
All these people die, but why?
That was the...
Yeah.
What's the purpose? Because then you... And I think it was a power thing, like, because he mentioned you have the people that play that game, the Game of Thrones or whatever, and they are the moron with the rock smashing beetles.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think it was a big metaphor with the players here. Why are they doing this? It's because for their own personal gain is the answer for most of them, if not all of them.
So he made that metaphor back to his face. He's clearly get something out of this.
So then Tyrion's marched out to the arena, or amphitheater as it were. I guess it's more of an amphitheater.
Yeah.
An amphitheater on the side of the beach.
I like that comment about his armor. Oh, that's pretty light armor.
Yeah, Tyrion's a little bit worried, right? It's like, that's some pretty light armor. He's like, well, you know, I like to move around. He's like, you should probably wear a helmet. And he's like, well, you know, it obstructs my view or whatever. And that's going to come back to haunt him.
He's like, you should stop drinking.
Yeah, you shouldn't drink before you fight. He's like, says the guy who's fought how many times, right? So yeah. Oberyn's like, I always drink before I fight. He's pretty sure of himself, right?
Oh, yeah, he's pretty confident.
So then Pycelle begins this long-winded intro to the Battle to the Death, which Tywin cuts short.
Yep.
And then out comes Oberyn, swinging the spear. Ooh, some showmanship, right?
We debated whether that was a spear or just like a quarterstaff. Yeah, we got it was our a spear.
Yeah. And it wasn't the only one he had.
Nope.
And I had mentioned some stuff about how maybe there's some cinematography at work to make the mountain look bigger. In this instance, it didn't seem like that was... It looked like he was just that big.
Yeah. He's definitely at least a head or two
he's
taller.
He's still a big at. Yeah, he's a big guy, man. He's a big dude. In real life, he's a big dude. I think it was just that screenshot that they showed us. Like, it was just that angle of the camera made him look even more.
Yeah, I saw a picture on Reddit of him, the two of them together.
Yeah.
The mountain and the viper in Croatia, I guess, is where the picture said it was titled.
Right.
It was those two at the beach.
Where they're filming.
And they were together, and that guy's big.
Yeah, he's big. But it starts out, it looks like Oberyn is owning the mountain, man, at the beginning. I mean, he's not getting a lot of you know, hard blows on him, but he's kind of, you know, chipping away at him.
He's getting very nicely deflecting all of the sword blows from the mountain.
Right. And then the mountain starts to get some, you know, he
tosses him.
He breaks his spear, and then he tosses him. And then finally, Oberyn strikes a mortal blow, right? So he starts with his ankle, then he comes in and stabs him in the chest.
Getting more and more pissed about his
right, because he won't confess. Oberyn wants some kind of confession, because he basically wants the mountain to tell him that Tywin ordered him to do this.
Yep. I think he was going to throw that spear at Tywin.
I think so. If he got the confession and killed the mountain, he wasn't going to stop with the mountain.
No. And from his skills, I mean, they would have needed quite a few guards to stop him.
Yeah, I think he would have got the spear through.
Oh, yeah.
But it turns out we don't have to worry about that, because then he started getting cocky. So after the mountain was bleeding out, you know, he starts toying with him, right? Yelling and screaming and pointing at Tywin Lannister about how he needs to know.
Standing way too close,
and the mountain trips him, basically hits him on his feet, trips him, and then...
backhands him.
Man, knocks his teeth clear the hell out of the amphitheater, out of the ring, and then confesses that he did all these things, and this is exactly what I did to her, and then pushes his thumbs into his skull and crushes his brain.
And then makes it explode like a melon, because you actually hear the popping sound.
Yeah, there was a popping sound.
Because at this point, I was just like, well, I'm done with this show.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I was disappointed. First of all, it wasn't like, it's not even definitive. Is the mountain dead?
Yeah.
I think he's dead, but they didn't really come out and say he's dead. But no, I guess because he died second.
And
Oberyn died first.
What are the rules there?
I don't know what the rules are, but obviously the rules are that if your champion dies, it doesn't matter what happens to the other champion. If your champion dies and you're the guy on trial, then you're guilty, man. It doesn't matter if the other champion dies or not, I guess.
There goes the only character I cared about.
So Tyrion has been sentenced to be executed. Oh, man, he's not going to die.
I wasn't talking about Tyrion.
Oh, you're talking about Oberyn? The only character you cared about was Oberyn?
I was looking for some fucking vengeance.
I liked him. I was hoping he'd last longer, too. I think I don't like the way that played out, definitely. Mm-hmm. I would have rather he stayed cold and calculating and not lost his shit during the battle, even if he didn't discover that Tywin actually did it, but then still, you know, like, run subterfuge in the background against Tywin. And obviously, it would have been nice if
Tyrion seems
would
like
just let go.
A clear, like, we've had no... There's been so little, like, power against the Lannisters. It's like, this war's over. No one's left to fight it.
You're right. They're not feeling much, right? So they're not getting hit where it counts, the Lannisters.
They're not at all.
Yeah.
At all.
So there's no payback.
None.
And there needs to be. I agree.
It's just disappointing. The entire show has now become disappointing. Because there's no characters left that I feel I can root for.
Well, I'm still rooting for Tyrion.
I like Tyrion. But it's not. He's not. Here's
my prediction. Tyrion is not going to die. I think that's a given.
I root for warriors. Like, and
well,
none
but
left.
Tyrion's a mastermind, dude.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
But in this game of politics, what is he going to be able to do at this point?
We'll see. I think he has a lot left. Man, what is he gonna do? Shit changes all the time. Sansa is now a power player. She's doing power plays. We never thought that would happen.
I don't care for the politics of it, though. I'm not looking for a political drama. But that's not why I'm watching Game of Thrones.
You know what Game of Thrones is based on something, right? That happened in real life? The War of the Roses?
Only vaguely.
Okay, so like it's loosely based on this huge political intrigue drama thing called the War of the Roses that happened 500 years ago in England and France and stuff like that. So it is a political drama.
I live for the other parts of it,
though. Well, I do like the battle stuff. I don't even care about the dragons. Dragons don't impress me.
No, not really.
But I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in the north, because I'm pretty sure that next episode is going to be the big battle at Castle Black. So we're going to see some fighting there.
But it's gone too long without, like, that story in my mind is stale, that entire story.
Well, as soon as the giants attack, it'll be unstale, Jesse.
Well, you just have bad men leading the Night's Watch, so I'm not even rooting for the Night's Watch.
It doesn't matter if you're rooting for them or not, people are going to die, and there's going to be fantastic battle scenes.
That would be the case, but I don't care if anyone survives it. At this point, let the White Walkers win.
What? I can be nihilistic about things, but I am rooting for Jon Snow, because in the end, I still think Jon Snow and Daenerys get together.
I wasn't even this disappointed when Robb Stark died in the whole Red Wedding.
Huh?
I wasn't even this disappointed when the Red Wedding happened.
Well, I was disappointed that the Red Wedding happened, but for different reasons. Not because I loved like, Robb Stark. I was disappointed because it should have happened 3 episodes sooner. I wanted him to die.
Not what I meant. I just meant like, wow, that's brutal. And that was about all I felt for that show. Okay. For that episode. I'm like, wow.
Well, you know, I don't know.
It's like, I didn't root for Rob.
I don't know what can happen from here on out, Jesse.
His story's boring. All the people's stories are boring. That character was not boring in my mind.
I don't think Oberyn was the best character in this series.
I don't think he's the best either, but he's less boring than
who's the best character in him? Ned Stark was the best character, but he's dead.
He is very dead.
Arya, I'm still waiting to see what happens to Arya. There's going to be more shit for her.
That story's progressing too slowly for me.
It is progressing slowly. I will give you that.
And I can't see, like, unless they do a major turn, I don't really care.
I think a lot of what has happened in their story could have been condensed to 2
about
episodes.
10 minutes.
or 2 scenes.
Let's
2
travel.
Scenes between 2 episodes. I have this complaint very often with Game of Thrones that I think that they could do a lot more condensing. That'd be interesting if the show caught up and surpassed the books.
That would piss a lot of people off.
And that would make the show the principal source of material because it's...
That would piss a lot of people off.
I'm happy with pissing people off.
Yeah. I would feel bad.
I wouldn't feel bad.
I would.
Why?
I feel like that kind of ruins the kind of story. The book's story. I know it's telling... The fact that they're telling it in 2 mediums kind of, but...
Like, I don't think it ruins... First of all, when I watch superhero movies, for instance, Captain America... Here's a spoiler. Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Haven't seen it.
Okay, well, here's a fucking spoiler, and I'm going to tell it to you. Because if you read the comic books, you know who the fucking Winter Soldier is. It's Bucky, all right? His sidekick from the first movie.
I didn't pay that much attention.
All right. So it's not a big spoiler for you. But that would be a big spoiler for a lot of people. But it doesn't fucking bother me, because I will watch it and enjoy it anyways. The Lord of the Rings television series. Lord of the Rings films. The Hobbit films. I've read those books 100 fucking times. Watching the movie is still awesome. Did not ruin the movie.
Agreed, but at the point where you know all the big twists and turns, do you go back and read a book?
I still like it. I think that's bullshit. The whole fucking being spoiled thing. The only reason we do it is to accommodate because you probably do it for another reason. But the only reason I accommodate the spoiler books... thing...
See, this is the thing. I did not like the books. I do not like his writing style. I do not like...
Well, I don't give a shit. I'm talking about spoilers.
Yeah.
I think that the whole phenomenon where people think they're spoiled if they know the plot twist is bullshit. So what's your predictions? What do you think is going to happen for the rest of the season? Or at least next episode?
I don't think Tyrion's just going to get executed.
Yeah, he's not. I think that's a given. Tyrion's not going to get executed. He's going to find a way to escape. Or someone's going to bust him out.
I no longer care about Dany's storyline.
She's stuck there for a while.
At all. Like,
so there's actually nothing there to drive her plot forward.
She's no longer a compelling character to me.
Yeah. So they've neutralized the only reason for her to go to Westeros, right? So she was supposed to go there and take over, you know, war for the throne, but then she decided to be the queen and take care of what she already has. The question is, what's going to get her out of Slaver's Bay? I am imagining that she eventually gets out of there, but the question is, what eventually drives her to get out of there?
And has it happened anywhere? Like, has that happened yet?
I don't think so. I don't think it's something that's... Oh, you mean...
I mean,
something that's already in print already?
I don't think it's in print already.
I don't know. You mean... the current book, she's still in Slaver's Bay?
I think so.
Wow, that's a long, fucking boring story.
That's what I'm saying. That fluff is boring.
But we have shit happening at the wall. There's definitely shit that's going to happen there that's going to change how things roll from here on out. So Mance's Raiders is going to come in and attack the wall.
But when it comes to Mance's Raiders, the White Walkers sweeping south, I no longer care. I hope they, like, you're going to root for Tywin at that point?
No. You're going to root... Jesus, do you have no imagination? You don't think Jon can do something to rally a bunch of men? Maybe a king for both sides of the wall? You don't think Jon could be that person?
I don't think... No. No, I don't. The way things have been going, I don't think he's just going to be suddenly become a king.
You don't think so?
Nope.
So what do you think that his ultimate end for the story is?
He's probably going to die.
You think he's just going to die?
At this point, yes.
So that's your prediction. Jon is just going to fucking die. He has no no purpose. He would have served no purpose. If he just dies now, what purpose to the story would he have served?
What purpose does any of these characters...
Oberyn served a purpose.
He did, yeah.
Okay. The purposes of Oberyn...
See what these books have done. See what that has done to me.
So I'm telling you that...
I don't like his story isn't compelling to me.
What is more compelling than becoming the leader of the Wildlings and the North?
That could be cool. I could see that.
Okay. Let your imagination flow. Don't be confined to the channels that you've dug for these characters.
This is the thing. I don't see him like shacking up with the Wildlings. I don't see him becoming a king of the Wildlings.
I can. I think he has respect for the Wildlings.
He has respect for them, but do they have respect for him?
He'll have to do something.
That's the what, though?
I don't know. You know, Mance was a crow once, too. Yeah. So, and he's united all the tribes.
You think he's just going to pick up all the...
No, okay, so here's a...
Now that I've got all the crow's seats, let's just let Jon live when I storm the castle, you know?
No, so what if this becomes a three-front battle? Three versus three forces.
You think
so
it's going to be...
The Raiders come in and attack the wall.
And the White Walkers come right behind him.
Yes. And then the Raider... Mance is sandwiched between the two. Maybe Jon can be put in a position where he can aid the Wildlings. In the process, Mance dies and they choose him as their new leader.
That's a good thought. I like that.
See?
That doesn't mean I care about his character at this point in time.
Well, no.
For him to become compelling to me, he would have to be in that position.
That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, all these storylines are going to suck. They got to do something.
All of them suck right now. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think they all suck. I think Dany's definitely sucks. I think Tyrion is in the dip before arise, so he's finally fallen about as far as he can get, and now he's going to start his climb back up. So, I mean, you have to throw...
Yeah, but at that point, how long does it take?
You have to throw obstacles in the paths of characters to make them interesting, and these are obstacles.
It took how many episodes for Arya and Sandor to get to
the... I am agreeing with you that the length of time that it takes to tell the story is too long, but I don't think it makes it any less compelling. If you could condense the stories instead of spread them out across 10 episodes.
I think there was a lot of filler.
There is a lot of filler. We still have yet to know what happened to Rickon and Osha. I don't know if we'll find out this season.
I don't think they're coming back.
We need to find out where Brienne and Pod gets. So that'll be in the next two episodes. Tyrion's escape. He's going to end up escaping. Unless they come at the end and declare the mountain dead and find him exonerated or something. You know what I mean?
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
They already declared... They already said he's going to be executed.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
So they didn't even check whether they...
So the question is, who's gonna help Tyrion escape? You think it's going to be Jaime?
No.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Who?
That's a good question.
Maybe Oberyn's...
I think some friends of Varys's.
Half-sister?
That might be the case, too. Maybe
Lady Sand?
I think there's going to be some upheaval or something.
Because there may be repercussions about Oberyn dying.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So House Martell may do something to influence things that go on there in King's Landing. So you have Lady Sand. I think she's been pretty much backdrop until now. So I think she's going to do something. We still have... What the fuck happened to Shay after she turned on Tyrion?
I think there's going to be some upheaval in King's Landing.
So Shay's still out there. We don't know what happened to her eventually.
I think there's going to be a power shift in there.
Okay.
At least that's what I hope for.
Yeah.
I hope they all die.
You hope that a fucking asteroid comes from outer space and destroys King's Landing?
I would like to see a Dornishman Red and just, like, knock out the entire royal family.
Huh.
At this point, Cersei has to die.
So you think Cersei has to die?
I think Cersei has to die to balance things out, because there is no way.
I think she's had to die for the last four seasons. Damn, she's a hateful character.
I know.
I mean...
Super hateful. Before
it was Joffrey at the top of that...
Then you need to find out just how hateful, like, it was like, how much influence did she have on his hatefulness? Probably a lot. That's probably where you're like, wait, where the fuck did he get that from? And you're like, oh, there's the answer.
Well, so what other storylines are in play? You have Dragonstone. We don't know what's going to happen with Davos and Stannis.
I think Davos should stop Cersei. I hope that ends.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to see Shireen burned at the stake.
I'm tired of seeing, like, good people serve bad people.
Everybody is, like, bad in this.
That is true. But I don't want to see Jorah serving Dany. I don't want to see Davos serving Stannis. That's why I think those two should shack up and go on an adventure.
Are there any outstanding storylines? Any other ones?
I don't know if Bronn's gone.
Bronn?
You think he'll be a part of that whole breaking turn?
I don't know. He could. He could come back.
I don't necessarily see, like...
He could do something secretive.
I was thought about maybe Tyrion escaping, then I thought maybe there will just be upheaval, and Tyrion will get released.
Right. Or you mean he'll escape? You think he'll be released?
Or escape, either one. I think
it's going to be escape, John.
Depending on the size of the upheaval. I'm going to call... You know I'm going to call Tywin's death. I'm going to call Tywin's death.
You're going to call Tywin's death?
Tywin and Cersei.
Wow.
That's what I'm calling.
That's
the only thing that can save that story for me.
Dude, that would be great. In one fell blow, they both die.
Yeah.
That's what I'm... You know calling. Who we haven't seen from recently, or this whole season? The Brotherhood Without Banners.
That is true.
We haven't seen those guys.
I think there's going to be a major focus around the Bolton takeover of the North.
I think that's boring. We're going to see that the repercussions from that next season. I think we're pretty much finished with the Boltons for now.
You think so?
Yeah. I think in the next two episodes, we won't see much. We might see Greyjoy's reaction. So we might see House Greyjoy's reaction to them taking Moat Cailin. But I don't think... We're not going to see any real repercussion from it. You know what I mean? We're going to see... What the reactions to. The Boltons control the North. We're going to see the reactions to that. And then that'll be something for next season. Because we only got two episodes left. I can't see them fitting in a Greyjoy retaliation story.
Let's just hope for Tywin and Cersei dying.
Yeah.
That's my vote. That's what I hope happens.
What if House Tyrell does something?
Hopefully they're the ones that kill them.
Yeah, we'll see.
You think they'll just make a play and just knock over the Lannisters and go?
I don't know. If they do, that Tywin and Cersei is the only people that would matter.
How many people are left alive in Westeros? Because I see people dying all the time. And you got to wonder.
What's the birth rate?
Yeah.
That's the other question.
I'm pretty sure there's a massive population decline. Yeah. Who the hell would stop anybody from just, like, at this point, just sitting, like, I'm just going to kill a few Lannisters and sit the throne?
Yeah, I don't know.
How big is Lannister's army at this point? It's busy scattering and pillaging and raping the countryside. Well,
I think they've consolidated since. What if it's Davos, Stannis, and the Golden Company that arrives in King's Landing that causes the upheaval that allows Tyrion to escape? You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. If you listen on those channels, be sure to go out there and rate us. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/facelessmencast. You can find us on Twitter at facelessmencast. You can reach us by email, facelessmencast@gmail.com. And you can find us on our website, madbrewlabs.com. Until next time,
Valor Morghulis.